Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience in Mississippi and Atlanta, as well as joining us online around the world. We want to appreciate all of you for joining us as well. We're excited to welcome to our program today best-selling author Christina McMorris. We're going to talk to her not only about her new book, The Edge of Loss, but how she's been able to take readers back in time, not only in this book but in others, to be able to show us not only how interconnected we all are, but also how sometimes we have to look backwards to be able to understand who we are and also where we're going. We'll talk to Christina about the success already of the new book, but also what she hopes you as readers are able to take away from it. If you're just now hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Christina, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. You know, I believe, and I think others have agreed with me on this, I mean, whether they have read your book, you know, Letters from Home, or even are starting with The Edge of Loss, you have the ability, Christina, to not only to, I think, wrap us up in these characters you've been able to create, but also to take us back, you know, into a time that is really before many of us were born, but that seems so real to us and seems so relatable. Do you think that's been part of the success that you've been able to have so far as an author?
Oh, well, thank you. You know, what's funny is with Letters from Home, I have to say that I wrote something that was just a story of my heart. So it really was inspired by my grandparents' World War II courtship letters that my grandmother happened to share with me one day. Nobody in the family knew that she still had kept those letters from my late grandfather. And so when we spent the afternoon going through those, you realize, you know, that these were just teenagers, just like we were, or I was, I like to say just a few years ago. Okay, maybe a little bit more than that. But you know, like you said, it humanizes parts of history that, like World War II, something that is often very romanticized in movies or music, et cetera, and in storytelling even. And on the flip side, you also get the history textbooks and the, you know, few paragraphs that we all probably too often slept through, you know, or kind of zoned out during high school years because they didn't feel as human to us, and the fact that they were people just like us going through an extraordinary time. So the fact that I got to turn that into a novel and really humanize those people from that time was really special to me. So the fact that people are enjoying the stories, but also hopefully getting, like you said, some nuggets of history and truth out of it is definitely more meaningful.
Well, I think that's definitely what you've done, and I think even with this book, with The Edge of Lost, Christina, you take us into a time, into events, you know, that we may have heard about or maybe had not or even thought about may have happened, and allow us to be able to see, wow, you know, there's so much great thing that can come from history. I kind of smiled when you said that some of us may have slept through, because I actually loved history myself, but I think that you're exactly right, that there's so many times people don't see the significance of it, but now as we're getting older, I think we realize how the events of the past and even our own lives, you know, can do so much in helping to shape us. You know, when did you realize that love for yourself, Christina, the love of being able to look backwards in order to better understand who we are and who you were?
Yeah, it was exactly then. I was creating a family cookbook that a lot of people do for their families, you know, throwing in my grandmother's recipes to make copies at Kinko's and give it out to the grandkids. So it really, I had never intended to be a creative writer. I had done PR for many, many years before that. So I loved writing, but really on a nonfiction level. And it was just because of throwing in her biographical section at the last minute that all of this history from her life was unearthed. And as the greatest generation often likes to say, well, nobody asked. So that's how we didn't know so many things. And so to be able to put that in there ended up really opening my eyes, like you said, to history and looking back at the past. And then moving forward from there, I really thought that was going to be my only book. And then, you know, I like to joke, it's like The Godfather. Once they pull you in, you can't get out. Mm-hmm. And I had a 2-book contract in front of me, which was really, of course, very fortunate, a blessing. Then I had to think about what did I want to write about next. And I really leaned toward doing something in the contemporary realm because, and my thoughts at the time was, you know, this would be so much easier than all of that research that is involved in making sure you really try to do justice to what they went through and get it right.
Sure.
But like you, I fell in love with history. And found all, I kept coming across these nuggets of history that I felt like people didn't know about, and they should. At least I know I didn't know about it. So when it came to the second novel, I decided to write about World War II again, but from a completely different standpoint, and that was a little closer to home, in that it was about 200 non-Japanese spouses who lived in the internment camps voluntarily. And since I'm half Japanese, that really struck a personal chord for me. And so once again, I found myself trying to tell, you know, a part of history, but through people's eyes, people's, you know, everyday families that were just either torn apart or had everything taken from them overnight. And I think that that topic is so relevant, of course, back full circle today.
Right. And I think that that is it. And I think, again, it definitely does make us think about not only, of course, you know, what people went through in these different times, but also what we would have been like and what we would have been able to do. I mentioned to you, and I should have asked you, actually, Christina, before we started this segment, is his name pronounced Shan? Is it Shan or Shane?
Yeah, Shan. Exactly right.
Shan. Okay,
yes.
Good. All right, good. Well, you begin chapter 33 with this great quote, and summarizing it, you know, nothing stays the same. And yet, I think in this book it shows us that in so many cases, human beings are human beings, right? That we, I mean, that no matter where we are or where we're going through, we all have decisions to make. We all have choices. And this book, to me, is all about choices. And you know, and I found myself asking, what would I do in that situation? Or would I have been able to have the courage? And would I have been selfish? Would I have been willing to help others? I mean, is that part of what you hope, other than entertaining us, that we would ask ourselves about the scenarios the characters found themselves in, including Shan?
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on. As far as two things that I love that people hopefully will get out of my stories, besides the history that I love, you know, to share now. One is that you go through the darkest times in life, and I think this is universal no matter what period that you live in, and that is you go through these dark times that are either World War II or, in this case, with The Edge of Lost, having to do with Alcatraz and an immigrant's journey from Dublin through the tough streets of Brooklyn, through prohibition and mobsters and, you know, and ending up at Alcatraz, which, of course, is not an ideal place to live by any means. And to be able to go through those hard times and still find hope at the end, I think, is really one of the biggest messages of my stories. The other one is like you said, is, you know, there are things that always change in our life as much as we like them to stay the same. I have a 9- and 12-year-old, two boys who I want to put them in a jar and keep them exactly the age they're at right now because they still think I'm brilliant.
Yeah.
And yet they can dress themselves, you know. So
right.
It's the best of both worlds. But, you know, there are things that still, I think, are constant, and that is the connection that we have as people, especially at a time when we have so much noise, you know, out there with, you know, social media and news and all these things that we're trying so hard to keep up with everything, and yet that human connection and the bonds that we have with loved ones and people, especially, as you know from reading the story, people we consider family even if we aren't related by blood, becomes
right.
So important, I think, the older that we get.
Exactly, and I think that is so true. And there's another line that I had made a note of that I thought was so interesting, and it said so much. And I think for us, you know, especially for people today, we realize, because so many times we like to think that we can do things on our own, but there's a conversation you wrote, Christina, between Ted and Ralph, you know, and the two of them, you know, basically said, well, it was Ralph that actually said it to Ted, it's better if we all work together. You know, do you think that that's also something that is missing? It's so interesting. You mentioned technology and what brings us together, but I think, unfortunately, one of the things that technology has done, and even though I use it myself, is that we are not as connected, ironically. We don't really get to know people anymore. We have these, you know, these 140 characters or less that we're trying to cram things in, and there's no real communication. Do you think that's one thing that we could learn, especially from individuals like, you know, what you're able to introduce us to, is the importance of realizing that we're bigger than just ourselves, that we can do so much if we're willing to work together?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you that social media is such an interesting, you know, kind of double-edged sword, and that we are connected, and yet it's in a distant connection. And
right.
I remember recently seeing, I think on Facebook, somebody had posted a video of where they did an experiment with a hidden camera, and they turned off the internet. I'm not sure if you've seen this, at a cafe where all these people had all their computers and all their work to do and were so separated, not speaking to each other. And they did it as an experiment. They brought out toys and games they said were from the daycare area of the cafe, and suddenly people were connecting on a completely different level, and people were playing guitars and sing-alongs, so that when they said the electricity came back on, you watch the people's reaction, nobody went back to their computers because they had almost forgotten how great it was to sit there and play these games that we grew up with, like Connect Fours and, you know, and sing-alongs. And I think you're right. We are missing a bit of that personal connection, because life is just, it seems like it's moving so fast. And I think that it's important to kind of slow down and then look at those priorities, the things that we really can make a difference in other people's lives, but also on a big scale and also a small level, something that's just local as well.
Exactly. What a great thing. You know, along the way, you've not only been able to thrill readers, and I've been able to see it even as I was prepping for this segment, Christina, going by through even, you know, some of the reviews already coming in for The Edge of Loss, but also I think you've been renewing for many people. I've noticed a trend for you when it comes to your books, and I'm sure you've noticed this too, that people love the historical element of it, you know, and that is what also gets them excited. You know, one of the reviews I saw for this book said, you know, that's one of the reasons why you're one of their favorite authors, is because of what you're able to do in mixing in these great stories with history. I mean, when you read things like that, do you feel as though your job is done, that you did exactly what you wanted to do as a storyteller?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think any artist that, you know, is selling their work out there and putting it out there to be judged can be tough, of course, because it is so personal. And there's always a million things that you could go back and reread and think, oh, gosh, that sentence could have been better, you know, you know, maybe I should have taken a different turn with this scene. But at the same time, it's I've gotten a lot better with that. I think now that it's my fourth novel, sixth book, and which explains why I always joke why I'm so tired. But it's because I'm able now more than ever to let it go and to feel really proud of a story I told of where I was at that moment and how I saw history and the story I wanted to tell then. Because I think we could, you know, keep second-guessing ourselves, or I'm sure you go through, you know, you could go through the same thing of maybe you could do that interview a little bit better or ask
sure.
a better question,
sure.
but, you know, but we can nitpick that to death, or we could say, you know what, this is a story I wanted to tell, and I think the heart of it is exactly what I wanted to convey, so I feel really good about that.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, the other novels and, you know, this being your fourth. You know, I introduced you as a best-selling author, of course. Many people know, you know, that you are a New York Times best-selling author, which, I mean, is an amazing feat. But, I mean, you know, I was curious about this because it does not seem as though for you that is as big of a deal as being able to tell a story for readers that they appreciate. You know, and I found myself even in talking to other guests, and I even said to one guest when I kept referring to her as a New York Times bestseller author, I said, do you get tired of hearing that?
You know? We say no, never.
If she said yes,
she's lying.
but when you think about it, though, for yourself, the question I wanted to ask you was, how does that feel that something that you love has brought you not only that type of recognition, but literally fans around the world?
Thank you. Well, I think that there's plus and minuses of that. I think that the great part is it feels good. Like, I think anybody agrees, it feels good to have some kind of milestone achievement
mm-hmm.
that feels so almost tangible that you can say, wow, that it's a nice pat on the back, and you feel like I've made progress in some way, and I'm, you know, reaching a good number of readers. On the other side, you know, I'm still a mom in her yoga pants, even though I don't do yoga, and sitting down in that chair every day and writing when I don't feel like it because you have a deadline, and it's still just a very, in so many ways, an unglamorous job. And I think that the great thing about doing well is you get maybe some accolades like that. The downside, of course, is that if you think of it as a finish line, then I think it's dangerous because you always then think, now I have to hit every book on that list, or what if I fall off the list or don't make it as high as I did before? And that's a silly measurement because there's so many you know, factors that we can't control. And the best part of it is that helps ground me is that I will get, the other day, just about 3 days ago, I got an email from a reader that said she was 84 years old and read Letters from Home and
oh, wow.
So sweetly thanked me because she grew up during that period and it brought back so many memories for her. And those are the moments, you know, where my kids got to finally read a book that I wrote this time and were so proud and enjoyed the story and couldn't put it down for a couple of days. Then you think, you know, these are the things that are important much more than any kind of bestseller list, even though those are fun.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. And we know there will be many more, of course, Christina. Again, everyone, Christina McMorris is our guest for the segment. We're talking with her not only about her journey as a beloved storyteller, but also about her new book that's getting a lot of attention this year. The Edge of Loss is the title of the book. We're just now hearing about it. We'll tell you all here in just a moment how you can get it for yourself. You know, the other thing that I thought about, too, is how a lot of times when it comes to life, I thought about with The Edge of Loss, Christina, that a lot of times when it seems as though you have lost the most, sometimes, as you said, you discover, you know, what really matters. I mean, for you, has that kind of been, I know you've referenced, you know your family a couple times in this conversation. Is that one of the things that kind of helps you to appreciate what really does matter?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, like we mentioned before, all you know, what I call noise or all the activities and life moving so fast, then I always like to think that I try to instill in my family, I guess, in my kids, that we try to appreciate what we have, even if it's not taken away. I think it's so easy to, you know, it's that feeling that we have that we so appreciate that we feel well after we've had the flu. Or after, you know, we've had an upset stomach, and then you realize how good it feels just to be able to walk around the house and feel fine. And so I really try to appreciate what we have just now in the present and not get so wrapped up in what's coming next all the time, which I think is really easy for all of us to do.
Exactly. So true. So hopefully we'll all be able to take out those moments and in those moments enjoy a book like The Edge of Loss. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com, so definitely make sure you all head over there and get it for yourself. You can either one-click it or get the print edition as I have. You can also stay connected with Christina through her website at ChristinaMcMorris.com, and there you can stay connected with her and find out where she is on social media, as well as, of course, to find out what's coming up next for her as well. You know, Christina, it's been a great conversation with you. I really appreciate the time. I know it's been a busy year for you, and especially this time of year with the book just coming out in November. So we really appreciate your stopping by, and I hope you'll come back. We'd love to have you back again.
Thank you. I would love that. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For those joining us on the radio side, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. I've already tagged Christina both on our Facebook fan page as well as on our Twitter page. So you guys can head over to our page at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on the link you'll find there. You can listen to her segment completely for free, just her segment, and then, of course, be able to share it with your friends from there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.